Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys have joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
Well, you see on the screen there three words: be not afraid. I think fear is something that we as believers specifically, but I think culturally in general, that we all deal with, we have a problem with, we struggle with being afraid. And what brings us today, for me being here teaching on this subject, kind of going away from where our series has been lately, is because there's I've been walking through my own self-discovery. And I'm actually going to share some things about me today, which is, as we further we get into it, you'll see is difficult. Because who I am personality-wise, I don't want you to know about me. I'm very protective of who Randy is. And we're going to get into some stuff about Randy, and you're going to go, oh, I didn't know that. I don't think that's true. Well, I'm here to tell you whatever you hear me say today about me is true. Okay? Isaiah 43, 1 through 3 says this: but now, thus says the Lord your Creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. That last part of that verse 1, there's a picture there of relationship. Okay, God just doesn't leave us out there, be on your own. He says, do not fear. Why? Because you're mine. I called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God. That's God speaking. He's communicating to Jacob. This is our relationship. You're going to have to deal with that stuff. You're going to have to deal with waters. You're going to have to deal with fire, figuratively. But I'm going to be with you. There's no reason to be afraid. So we're going to jump off, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Because I think a lot of us here in this room, first service when we talked about, I could see on people's faces, this was hitting a nerve with them. Yeah, I am afraid. And we're going to look at a bunch of different categories this morning of where fear rises up. But we're also going to look at a lot of scripture where God's word tells us, do not be afraid. Back in the spring, I read this book. It's called The Road Back to You, An Enneagram Journey to Self-Discovery. Now that sounds kind of a little, ooh, you know, self-discovery. This is a system, and I'm going to explain this a little more, about knowing more about you. And it's old, it's ancient. It's not something new, but I just heard about it this past year. And one of my goals each and every year is to read a book a month. I like to read. I think there's value in gaining knowledge from other sources. I read my Bible every day, but I also read other stuff. And some of it just for fun, some of it to actually learn something. But this book rocked my world in understanding more about who I am, what my personality is, my temperament, if you would. And so that's kind of where this process of this message today began, is with me understanding more about me. The Enneagram, never heard of that. I never had until back in February, March, April, somewhere in there. The Enneagram is an ancient personality typing system. It helps people understand who they are and what makes them tick. You know, I'm 60 years old. I still don't know all the time what makes me tick, what motivates me to say or do or to respond in the way I do. And so this a friend of mine presented this to me and said, hey, you need to read this. Let's talk about it. And I said, that'd be great. Its origins are traced back to a Christian monk named Evagrius, and it soon became known as a helpful aid to Christian spiritual formation. Okay? So we all want that. We all want to grow in our relationship and our development, our formation as believers or followers of Christ. Now, within the Enneagram, there are 9 Enneagram types. And I'm giving you all this detailed information so you can get a little insight into me and why we're talking about this today. Within the Enneagram, there are 9 types. The 9 types are divided into 3 triads. The anger or gut triad, which is the 8, 9, and 1 in their numbering system. The feeling or heart triad, which is 2, 3, and 4 in their system. And then the fear or head triad, which is 5, 6, and 7 in their system. After reading through this book, looking at all of those, it became evident that I'm a 5. Again, that doesn't mean anything to you right now, but I'm going to explain that. I'm a 5 on the Enneagram. A 5 is driven by fear and externalizes it. I'm going, whoa, I'm not afraid of anything. You know, bring it on. My athletic background, my coaching background says, no, bring on the challenge. I'm ready for this. But the more I was reading about me, there's fear in there. They take in and relate to the world through their mind. That's me. I process everything. Give me some more information. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to process it. And then I'll act if I think I need to act. They tend to think and plan carefully before they act. Yes, we do. A 5's deadly sin. Each one of the 9 types has a deadly sin connected to their personality. Mine, the 5's deadly sin is avarice, extreme greed for wealth or material gain. Obviously, I haven't emphasized that enough because I'm neither wealthy or have attained a lot. So I need to work on that sin a little more, I guess. In Enneagram speak, it refers more to the 5's need to, now get this, not to gain more, but to retain, a desire to clinch and protect what little they already have rather than a desire to acquire more. Okay? You're protective of what you do have. Time, relationships, stuff. Now, here's why what I'm sharing with you is making me step out of my nice little comfort circle. Withholding personal information is a classic trait of the 5's. So me even talking about this and telling you this is me stepping outside of that comfort zone. I had somebody at first service come up to me that used to be in a life group with me. He said, Randy, you're exactly what you told us today is right. You used to never share anything in life group. You would get it out of us. You'd make us talk, but you'd never share anything. I mean, she called me on it, almost pointing her finger. It's a good thing I was up here. It'd probably been in my chest. But she's right. Healthy, our 5's are motivated by a desire to understand. We want to know more information. We want to gather it. We want to process it. We want to act upon it. A healthy 5 has a long view of things. That means we look way down the road. We just don't look right in front of us. We look broadly. We want to see the big picture. When we get enough information, then we can make a decision that may allow us to make a step. They manage an appropriate balance between participation and observation. See, right now, what I'm doing, I'm participating. All right? You guys, for the most part, are observing. I'm much more comfortable sitting on the back row watching people. I love going to airports. Sit there for hours and watch people and observe and gain information. My wife asks me all the time, I'll say something, she goes, how do you know that? Because I observe, I watch, I'm gathering information about a lot of different things. But I'm not necessarily going to tell you what I've observed and what I see. A healthy 5, again, has a long view, not as much participation, like to observe. An average 5, they hold to a scarcity mentality, which leads to hoarding time, space, and affection. I keep it to myself, okay? I hold on to those things when I'm average. And when I'm totally unhealthy as a 5, this is my attitude. Excuse me. A 5 doesn't want to depend on anyone for anything. See, because I have enough information. I've already processed it. I don't need to ask for your opinion or for your input. I'll just get more information, then I'll decide. And see, there's fear in that. If I let you in to my circle, then I've got to include you. And I'm not sure I want that. You know, you're getting inside my bubble, so to speak. That's unhealthy. Fives can be a bit difficult to get to know. If we gave a test on Randy Bunyard today, most of you would fail because you don't have enough information about me, and that's just the way I like it. Fives prefer to observe. Fives collect knowledge. Fives compartmentalize and are private. Fives aren't ruled by their feelings. You know, my emotions aren't going to control me. They never have. Because I've already thought through the process. I've outthought my emotions because I've gathered information. Now, what's the purpose of this? The purpose of the Enneagram is to show us how we can release the paralyzing arthritic grip we've kept on old, self-defeating ways of living so we can open ourselves to experiencing more interior freedom and become our best selves. Isn't that what we want to do in Christ? Don't we want to become the best follower of Christ we can do? And seeing some of these things that are naturally about me, you know, if you all took the test and read the book and you discovered, we'd represent all nine numbers in here. Feel certain. Okay? But for me, I'm driven by fear and by having to think everything with the head. I need to get rid of that slavery, if you want to be to that, and be able to connect with people better, to open up with them, to trust them. Now, after I finished that book, I read this book a couple months later as one of my 12 for the year. Bob Goff, Everybody Always. This book, specifically, if you haven't read Bob Goff, he wrote Love Does, which you may have heard of. This is his second book called Everybody Always. And what it's about is loving everybody always, no matter the circumstances. Even people who are hard to love. And so that was a challenge. Hard to love people are hard to love. But his concept and his purpose for writing that book was we need to love everybody always. And it's a great challenge. I encourage you to read that book if you like to read. But chapter 19, guess what chapter 19's title was? Be Not Afraid. Okay, God, I get it. Read one book that tells me who I am personality-wise, and now I've got to read this chapter that talks about be not afraid. Challenges me one more time. So, what if we weren't afraid anymore? What if I wasn't afraid anymore? That's the question that came out of this that I want to pose to you guys today. Because see, I believe there are categories of fear that each one of us deal with. And God's word massively communicates against being afraid. Throughout history, God has spoken three words more often than any others when the people he loved were scared, confused, lost or lonely, paralyzed or stuck. In those times, he usually didn't make a big speech. God didn't. Jesus didn't. He just said to his people, be not afraid. The Old Testament, Genesis 46:3 says this. He said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. You know, some of our 11 missionaries that we just sent last Thursday to go to Hamburg, I feel certain, am confident, there were fear involved in that trip for some of them. Some of them, how am I going to pay for this? The fear has been going on for months. How am I going to raise money? I'm afraid I can't do that. What am I going to say? How's God going to use me? You know, I don't know all the Bible. I don't have it all memorized. How am I going to share with somebody if they ask me a question? I'm afraid. Maybe they've never been on a plane and they were afraid to do that. See, when God says that, in Genesis 46:3. He's talking about them going to a place. Don't be afraid. Go to Egypt. Specific instruction. Joshua 11:6. Now he's talking specifically to Joshua, not to a group of people. He says, "Do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow at this time I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire." See, now he's talking about people. Sometimes we're afraid of people. And God addresses that. Don't be afraid of them. 2 Kings 1:15, he goes on to say, in totally different circumstance, "The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him.' So he arose and went down with him to the king." And then 2 Kings 19:6, Isaiah said to them, "Thus you shall say to your master, 'Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me.'" How often do we feel fear? We experience being afraid because of something we've heard. We don't even know if it's true. We haven't even seen it with our eyes. We can't even put our hands on it. But we heard something. I'm afraid. What's going to happen because of what I heard? Psalms 49:16. "Do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me?" See? God's saying, don't be afraid about what man, what culture can do to you. I've told you, do not be afraid. Proverbs 3:25, the book of wisdom. "Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes." The wisdom of that is sometimes we don't know when things are going to come into our life that create fear. But when they do come quickly, don't be afraid. Jeremiah 1:8, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you." See, God has a desire. His purpose is to deliver you, to take care of you. In the New Testament, Jesus goes on, not just an Old Testament concept, but Jesus' words say in Matthew 14, Mark 6, and John 6, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.'" See, Jesus is, we sang about it a while ago, Jesus' presence should cause us not to be afraid. And that's what he's telling those he's talking to there. Don't be afraid. Take courage. Where do you get your courage? From me. Why? Because I'm here. I'm with you. Matthew 17:7. "And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, 'Get up. Do not be afraid. Act. Move.'" Matthew 28:10. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee. And there they will see me." See, the reward there in those words is that when you act upon what Jesus told you to do and you do it, you're not afraid. What's the reward? You get to see me. You get to be in my presence. You get to experience me. Mark 5:36. "But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, 'Do not be afraid any longer. Only do what? Believe.'" Okay? Believe. That's the basis of this overcoming fear in our lives. Luke 8:50. "But when Jesus heard this, he answered him, 'Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she will be made well.'" You know, we've been going through this whole series of the miracles that Jesus did. This is from one of them. There was fear involved there. Just believe. Overcome your fear with belief. Acts 18:9. "And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent.'" What was Paul's purpose in life? His purpose in life was to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews and to the Gentiles, which would take it to people who had never heard the gospel before. And what we see in Acts 18 is Paul getting to the point that he's dealt with a lot of stuff. People trying to kill him, people trying to correct him, people pointing fingers at him, being beat up, shipwrecked, all that stuff. We read about Paul taking the gospel, and he's tired. Do I really want to continue in this? And God knows it. God realizes Paul's getting afraid, because he says, do not be afraid any longer. Even Paul felt fear and sensed it. But the answer to that was, you keep doing what I've told you to do. Don't be afraid. Go on speaking. Do not be silent. You keep communicating the gospel. And often, when we get to that point as believers and we are afraid, what we need to do is what we last did. And that's, excuse me, and that's to continue doing what he gave us to do. And for Paul, that was to speak the gospel. So, what are you afraid of? Right now, this is the interactive part. I'm not going to ask each one of you, but I want you to think about it. If you haven't already, I want you to process. Well, what are you afraid of? As a believer in Jesus Christ, as a follower of his, where does your fear come from? Write it down where you can see it. Think about it. Because as we proceed, we're going to look at some things that, some categories of some things that believers are afraid of that causes fear in our lives. You may discover, I really didn't think I was afraid of that, but now that you said that, Randy, I am afraid of that. So you emphasize on that thing that creates fear in your life. 10 things Christians fear. We're going to go through these pretty quickly. These are the blanks on your note sheet if you want to follow along and fill in. Financial loss. That can look a lot of different ways. Poverty. Job loss. Financial hardship. Not having enough money for college for your kids. Not having enough money for retirement. Not having enough for any reason. All of those can create fear. You could probably add to that, under that category. Those things create fear in our life. 1 Samuel 2:7 says, the Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. See, God's in control either way. Whether you have a lot or whether you don't have much, or you don't know where your next dollar is coming from. I'm not sure how I'm going to pay my bills. I don't know how I'm going to live through retirement. I'm trying to figure that out now. That numbers don't add up. Every time I put pencil and paper to it, they just don't add up. But see, what I've learned through this process is I shouldn't be afraid of that. I mean, that's real for me. For us, my wife and I right now, that's real. We're getting close to that time. But Randy, Mina, do not be afraid. Something else is pain. Pain can come from a lot of different sources, physically, emotionally, spiritually. You could be feeling pain, suffering of some sort. Loss of comfort is really what pain is. James 1, 2 through 4 says this, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. See, sometimes the purpose of pain is that so we'll believe and trust in God and walk in faith that he's growing us through that process. Most often, what do we want to do with pain? Get rid of it. Take it away. See, it can be beneficial. Throughout the New Testament, throughout Paul's letters, he talks about suffering. Paul could write about suffering. Paul got afraid because of his suffering. But as a believer in Christ, I should expect that. Pain may change. It may look different. But it's going to be there. But I can count it all joy. That's how I can not be afraid in pain. Illness. This hits all of us. Some form or fashion. It creates fear. Just sickness. Fatigue. poor health in general, specific cancer, obesity, disease, germs. I mean, some of us are afraid to shake hands. Here, I'll give you the elbow of Christian love. Don't touch my hand. That's a fear. Why don't you shake somebody's hand? I'm afraid I might get a germ. See, there's fear involved in that. Not something you even think about. No, I'm just protecting myself. No, you're afraid. You're going to catch something. It's as simple as that. Now, you don't have to start shaking everybody's hands. You can still give the elbow if you'd like. But you don't need to be afraid. Matthew 6, 31 through 33 says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Not a surprise to him. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." See, there's a priority there. We should be seeking his kingdom, his righteousness. He'll add all the other stuff. He'll take care of those things that give us fear in this area. Death. Maybe death just scares you. Just in general. Dying. You don't want to think about it. Makes you afraid. Death of yourself. Death of a loved one. Just the dead in general. Can create fear in our lives. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things," Jesus, "that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death," that is, the devil, "and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." See, as believers in Christ, we have no reason to fear death, because death of this physical body becomes now a springboard into life eternally with Jesus. There's no need for us to fear death. Jesus went through everything as a human that we go through. And his purpose was to come and defeat that. And he did. That's why we can have a relationship with him and life eternally with him. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be enslaved for a lifetime by any fear. And that's what the end of that verse in Hebrews says. You don't have to be. Do not be afraid. The future. This is a biggie for all of us. The category of A, B, C, D, E, F, G's up underneath the Roman numeral would be extensive. What will be or will not be? Being prepared. Change. In the first service, I said, you know, change is a five-letter word. And I had a junior high student come tell me, "No, Randy, it's six letters." And I said, "You're right. I don't add very well. I was an English major." But see, that six-letter word should have been a four-letter word. You know those four-letter words we don't say? You know, against culture to use four-letter words? Because we don't like change. It creates anxiety for us. Creates fear in our lives. And so we don't know what the future is going to look like. This is really comfortable right here. I don't want to change. Matthew 6:34 says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." The past. Maybe for you, it's not the future that creates fear. It's your past. Mistakes catching up with you. Family shame being exposed. Loss of time. Oh my gosh, I've been on this earth 60 years. Did I use my time wisely? The temptation is there to say, "I'm afraid I didn't." Don't be afraid. Start today. Move forward. 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul writing to Timothy says, "But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." What's Paul saying? Paul says, because of my past, what I've had to experience in my past, I'm now being used to lead people to Christ, to gain eternity. See? So don't be afraid of your past. allow God to use your past to make a difference in his kingdom. There's no reason to be afraid of it. Judgment of others, what others think about you or you judging them, can create fear. Okay, what's God going to say? God knows everything. He knows what I did when I was 13, you know, behind the barn. He knows. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because we're in a relationship with Christ Jesus, God's not going to judge you or condemn you. Because you're in a relationship with him. You're covered by his blood for what he did on the cross for us. So why condemn yourself? Paul said that in Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation. Separation. I think this is a biggie for a lot of people. Loss of friends. Loss of family. Loneliness. Just loss of relationship. Psalms 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. You know, if that's where you find yourself this morning, you're just afraid of that, creates fear in your life, memorize that verse. Hold on to that. David did. He wrote it. He realized in his circumstances, he was tempted to fear. But he realized also that the Lord is near to me. I'm brokenhearted right now, but he's near to me. He's going to save my spirit that's crushed right now. Evil in general, just bad things. We live in a world that we're all exposed to bad things. It's all around us. People that mean you harm may be very intentional. They mean you harm, creates fear. They want to harm you. Injustice in the world. We can make a whole list of injustices that are happening. Go read your newspaper this morning. Look on the internet. Lots of injustices. Do we need to be afraid of that? Just evil spirits in general. Evil spirits are real. But we don't need to be afraid of them. Psalm 23:4. If you want a verse to go home and to memorize, if you don't have it already, it's a very familiar passage. This is it. This is living life, not afraid. Psalms 23:4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, we all want and desire comfort, even in a peaceful relationship with Jesus Christ. We want that. Well, life doesn't allow us just to sit in a bubble in my fiveness and be comfortable with gaining information and not interacting and participating. No, I need to step out of it. And when I step out of it, I walk through valleys of shadows with shadows of death. I have to deal with stuff. But how do I respond to that? I fear no evil. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, God's going to provide you with tools to comfort you. The devil, just period, flat out Satan. Luke 10:18-19. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. He's talking to his followers. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to us. We have that power. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God's word, which is our weapon to use against any of these fears. That's why it's good to memorize some of the verses we've looked at today. When you find yourself in that circumstance of fear, fight back. You have the power to do so. You can win. Now, you've got to understand my simplicity and my ignorance in digital design. All I know is make the font smaller and then a little bigger and a little bigger. Believe is the foundation. It's where you start. Just like God's word said, we already looked at that. Do not be afraid. Just believe. Start there. Believe what you've heard this morning. What you've heard from God's word, believe it. It's true. And see, the more you believe God's word, you begin to trust in it. And when you begin to trust in it and who He is in our lives, now we begin acting in faith. And faith defeats fear. Always. Always. No exceptions. Faith defeats fear. So we begin believing and we begin trusting and then we act in faith. The example I used a while ago, our people in Germany. Some of them had to act in faith to make this trip. They first started believing that's what God wanted them to do. So they started the process and they began trusting that God wanted them there. Guess what? All 11 of them are there right now. They acted in faith. That's what we want to do to defeat fear in our life, is to walk in faith. Because see, faith by definition is things we can't see. You know, a lot of things that give us fear are things that haven't happened yet. They're out there. Or they're past. Or they're only things we've heard, but we haven't defined. See? But that's what faith is. I'm not sure what's creating this fear. So I'm going to act in faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7 says this, "Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." See, a lot of times that passage is used for a memorial service, funeral service, because there's separation there. Because Jesus isn't walking with us. You know, every time we get afraid, we can't run to Jesus' leg like my grandson and granddaughter do when they get afraid. They run and they want to grab hold. We can't do that. Jesus isn't here physically. But see, what we can do by faith, we can run to Him. Because we're separated in the body, but through the Spirit, we can walk in faith, not by what we see. "Though Christ is not visibly present today, we live by faith in the reality of His presence with us, in the certainty of all the promises concerning our future." That's what we said. Believe what you've seen and heard in God's Word today. Why then, here's the question, why then do we continue to be afraid? See, the only answer that I can come up with is I just don't believe what God says. I really don't believe He's going to take care of that. See, we have to answer that question. If you're here today and you've heard this from God's Word, why then continue to walk in fear? The answer is just be not afraid. And use God's word as a weapon against that. Your faith as action against that. See, God can do immeasurably more in our lives when we walk in faith and we're not afraid. Let me pray. God, thank You for the opportunity this morning to communicate this truth that's happening in my life. It's very personal right now in my life as I continue to understand more about who I am and who You created me to be, but also what motivates me and prompts me and guides me and directs me. And I don't want to respond to circumstances out of fear. Don't want to do that. I want to honor and believe in Your word and act upon it when it says, do not be afraid. And I pray that over these people here this morning that have come to worship You and to praise You. But God, I also pray for them to believe You, that they don't have to walk in fear. God, I thank You ahead of time for what You're going to do in all of our lives, for walking in faith and not in fear. God, thank You for what You're going to do. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.